Random House Audio presents Beaudry Passes Through, a dramatization of the short story by Louis L'Amour.
It was late afternoon, and shadows were already growing long when Ranger Chick Beaudry rode out to the town of Mesquite. No one was expecting him in town, but he avoided the main street anyway.
Come on, come on.
With scarcely a glance at the place, he headed the Strawberry Roan north towards one of the isolated ranches that lay on the outskirts of the settlement. Dust rose in tiny clouds beneath the horse's hooves as Beaudry rode up to the cabin. Nothing stirred. No smoke rose from the chimney. No sound came from the barn. A small but new-looking buckboard stood idle in the yard. The ranger drew up at the gate at some distance from the cabin, as if in answer to some unspoken command. Chick Beaudry had lived this long because he knew where to stop. There was no reason to question the authority of the 50-caliber sharps resting against the door jamb.
Hold it right there, mister!
The voice behind the sharps was young, but it had a ring of authority. Beaudry knew that gun didn't need a grown man to pull its trigger.
I didn't know anybody was home. I'm looking for Josh Pettibone.
He ain't here.
Might as well rest that rifle, boy. I'm not hunting trouble.
There was no response from the house, and the gun muzzle did not waver. Chick found the black opening of the muzzle singularly unattractive, but he found himself admiring the resolve of whoever was behind it.
Where's Josh?
They done took him off.
Who took him off?
The law came and fetched him.
What would the law want Josh Pettibone for?
Still, the gun barrel pointed at Beaudry.
You mean you don't know? Who are you?
He wrote to me, saying he expected trouble. He didn't say what kind. You better put down that rifle, boy, and talk to me. I'm no enemy of your paws.
After a moment of hesitation, the barrel of the gun lowered and the boy stepped out. He wore a six-shooter thrust into his waistband. He was tow-headed and wore a shirt that had obviously belonged to his father. He was probably as old as 12 and very thin. The boy walked slowly, distrustfully, to the gate. He made no move to open it.
The name's Beaudry, Chick Beaudry. I happened to be out this way. Thought I'd look in and see how things are going. What did the law want with your pa?
Something about him poisoning a horse of Nero Tatum's.
Nero Tatum of the Tall T?
That's right. He's the biggest rancher in these parts. What he says is as good as law.
I heard about your pa's run-in with Bugs Tatum. That's Nero's brother, right? Tell me, did your pa poison that horse of Tatum's?
Of course not. My pa would never poison an animal.
I don't believe he would. Why don't you tell me about it?
Nero Tatum, he hates Pa. He's always hated Pa. He tried to chase Pa off this place 2 or 3 times, saying he didn't want no jailbirds nesting this close to him. He's tried everything.
When the boy said jailbirds, he had looked quickly at Beaudry for his reaction. Chick studied the boy. Bugs a while back.
Go on, you're telling it just fine.
Then, Pa bought that Hereford bull from Pete Swager. Pete knew Nero wanted it too, but he owed my pa a favor, so he let him have it for a good price.
I heard about that favor. Pete Swager was down in San Antonio when he came down sick.
Pa did all the work on his ranch. Nursed his wife and boy through the smallpox, too, while he was at it.
It was no small thing. I know Pete isn't the kind to forget it.
Well, Tatum had really wanted that Swager bull. He'd offered big money for it. But Pete's mind was made up. He wouldn't budge. Told Nero Tatum as much. That made Tatum madder than ever. When his mare died, he accused Pa of poisoning her.
What have they got for evidence?
They found the mare close to our fence line. She was dying when they found her, frothing at the mouth and kicking something awful.
That's not a whole lot to go on.
When she died, Nero accused Pa. Frost Deal, he claims he saw Pa give poison to the mare.
You take it easy, boy. Now, we've got to think about this. You got any coffee inside?
No, there's nothing in here to eat, stranger. You better ride on into Mesquite.
Would it be all right if I use your fire, son? I've got a mite of grub here and some coffee. I'm hungry. Besides, it might be better for your pa if nobody saw me in town right now.
Reluctantly, and with many a glance at Beaudry, the boy opened the gate. He stared at the roan.
That sure is a nice roan horse you got there, mister. I'll bet he's plenty fast.
Like a jackrabbit. He can keep it up for miles. Never seems to tire. There have been a few times when he really had to run.
Are you on the dodge, mister? Is the law after you, too?
No. I found it pays to stay on the right side of the law. few years back, I had a run-in with some pretty tough people, though, and for a spell, it was like being on the dodge.
So you know what it's like to be an outlaw?
And nothing romantic about it, son. Just trouble and more trouble.
I bet I could handle it. My pa's taught me how to shoot and how to ride real good, too. If I had a horse like yours, mister, why, nobody would ever catch me.
Trouble with being an outlaw or any kind of criminal is the company you have to keep. You can't trust anybody, even the people you ride with.
Maybe that's why so many outlaws ride alone.
You're always afraid somebody will recognize you. You don't have any real friends for fear they might turn you in or rob you themselves. But I'm not going to rob you, so let's go in and see about that chow, okay?
As they neared the house, Chick heard a slight stir of movement within. And when he entered, the flimsy curtain hanging over the door to the back room was still moving slightly. It was growing dark, so Chick took the chimney from a coal lamp and lighted the wick, replacing the chimney.
You can tell your sister to come out. I won't bother her. She might like to eat, too.
Hesitantly, a girl came from behind the curtain. She might have been 16, with the same large, wistful eyes the boy had, and the same too-thin face. But she was pretty. Chick smiled at her.
How do you know I had a sister, huh, mister?
Josh told me. You're mighty brave to stay out here all alone.
We don't have much choice, do we?
Pa told me to look out for her. I'm the man around here when he's gone.
I'm going to start building the fire. Why don't you put up my horse, son? Take your sister along, if you've a mind to. And when you come in, you might bring my rifle along.
Sure, mister. Come on, sis.
There's some more wood out in the barn. I'll bring it.
Thanks.
While they were gone, Chick got the fire going, and finding a coffee pot that was spotlessly clean, he put on some coffee. Then he dug into his haversack and took out some bacon, a few potatoes, and some wild onions. By the time they returned, he had a meal going, and the room was filled with the comforting smells of coffee and bacon.
Here we are. There's plenty of food here for three hungry folks.
Thanks.
Now, tell me what it's like living in Mesquite. And while you're at it, why don't you tell me your name?
I'm Dottie.
I'm Dot.
And I'm Tom. Pa moved out here about 3 years ago.
After he got out of prison.
We were living at Aunt Hattie's, over in Fort Worth. But once Pa got set up out here, he came and got us. Mesquite's a nice place.
When they started to talk, Chick found out there was little he did not already know. 3 years earlier, Josh Pettibone had been arrested and had served a year in prison. Pettibone had torn down a fence that blockaded his cattle from water. He was convicted for malicious mischief. Along with several other rangers, Chick felt the sentence was not deserved. Ordinarily, no Western jury would have convicted him, but this was a case where most of the jury belonged to Bugs Tatum, Nero's brother. The judge and prosecuting attorney were friends of the Tatums, and Josh, having no money, defended his own case. Chick Beaudry had not been judge and jury, but he knew what he believed. Josh Pettibone was not a bad man. A stubborn man, fiercely independent and often quick-tempered, he knew the fencing of that waterhole was aimed at driving him off his land. Bugs Tatum had wanted the place, and while Josh was in prison, he got it. On his release, Josh moved out to Mesquite and filed on a new claim. But here, too, he encountered a Tatum, for Bugs's brother Nero had owned a vast range north of Pettibone's property. That's when the talk about jailbirds had started.
So how did Foss' deal get mixed up in it all?
It turned out Foss had wanted this land too, but he hadn't filed a claim on it. He's still angry at Pa for beating him to it.
Now he's going to testify that he saw Josh give the mayor poison?
That's right.
Now when does this case come up for trial?
The day after tomorrow.
Sheriff Hewlett's holding Pa over at the jail. Said they wouldn't trust him to stay here on account of his record of convictions.
He was only arrested once.
Well, that still makes him a criminal, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, so what?
Now, whatever your Pa did or didn't do, you kids have got to stick together. Josh is a good man. And besides, there's just no use in arguing among yourselves.
Do you think they'll send him away again?
I don't know about that, Dottie. Depends on whether we can prove they're wrong. I don't think he's guilty any more than he was the last time. He's got some powerful people mad at him, though.
Tatums usually hold their trials over at the old dance hall.
All right, Tom. Tomorrow you and your sister get your best clothes all cleaned up and get that buckboard out there ready. And when the time comes, we'll go to that trial together. Maybe we can help your pa.
Really? What are we going to do?
Well, Tom, do you know where that mare was when she up and died like that?
Why, sure. She's still there, too.
Good.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?